is going on, y'all? And thank you again so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, joining me is a guy that watches an awful lot of hockey, Mr. Kyle Phillips.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here.
Favorite time of year.
I jinxed the team, right? I mentioned it on the Elite Show that they were undefeated, and of course, they've lost the last two games. But not to worry. I'm not worried, folks. We got like 77 more games, so... But yeah, man, I am enjoying the cool weather. I am enjoying the hockey.
It's awesome.
The football, the baseball playoffs are always the best to watch.
Ohtani?
Man, you see the game where he struck 10 dudes out and hit three homers?
Bombs. Just launched them.
What must it feel like to be like the greatest of all time in your thing?
I can tell you what it's like to be the worst at doing things.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what it must feel like to be the greatest. I mean, I've been at the bottom of the rung a lot.
Yeah, well, there's no denying that.
Right, I mean, like, the disc golf tournament we played in a few years back, right? I mean, like, that was that, so.
Hey, look, you got to try new things, right? You have to try. You have to have an experience.
You can't get good unless you start off bad at something, right? The only way you get good is to just keep doing it.
Are you ready for Halloween?
Yes.
Me too, man.
I'm ready for it. It's simply just because the kids have fun, right? So my granddaughter had her Halloween party. We got to go to the big dance party. We went crazy with that whole thing. All the kids, that was going wild. I was in my costume literally a minute and a half.
And you didn't take any pictures.
I'm going to probably wear it again on Halloween.
Oh, I was like, you got to put one picture.
I'll get one picture of it. Yeah, y'all will see it. It's, but the kids were going crazy with it, so I had to take it off and then they were just, man, it was wild. But we had a great time. The weather was great. The kids had fun. We grilled hot dogs, right? We had chili dogs. They made like Frito pies. They had a blast, right? And then I was home by 8 o'clock, ready to go to bed. It was awesome. I was old manning it up. It was a great time. So,
yeah, that's cool. We got a Halloween thing this Thursday at Shandor Gardens. They do a little thing for
kids. Word.
You know, they make a jack-o'-lantern carving contest and spooky stuff. So we're taking the grandbaby down there.
She's going to love it.
She's at the early age where, like, you could put her next to a werewolf. She doesn't know what it
is.
She's
even
not scared, right?
So well, that's older. Some of my genius kids. Same thing. They went in something crazy. They've never, they're young, like, what? You know, six, well, except for Cairo. Cairo's 10. But anyway, the two little boys, they kind of, I thought they would be a little afraid at first, right? This is, they've been into Halloween, but this is when they're getting in like kindergarten, first grade. Like, they're really getting into it. Loved it.
Yeah,
loved it. Like, being scared, they think it's hilarious. Like, oh, ha, ha, ha. They just laugh.
But then they'll see like a Tickle Me Elmo and they'll be terrified.
Yeah, they'll freak out.
You ever seen kids do that?
Yeah, yeah.
They're scared of a stuff that's not scary, but then scary things.
I told you that was my daughter when she was little. She loved Schmeagle. She loved it on Lord of the Rings. She was scared of Bruce from Finding Nemo.
The shark?
Yeah. Yeah, she did not like Bruce
at all. Oh, I'm out of here. I'm leaving the room.
But Gollum's fine. She's like, he's great. I'm like,
all right. I fast forwarded past Bruce. You can come back in.
You're good to go.
Yeah.
Put your eyes down. Let me get past him. Mm. Fish are friends.
Speaking of Halloween approaching.
Yeah.
I thought today's show we would do a little dog man sightings.
I'm down.
Because of how scary and creepy they are. But before we get to those.
Yeah.
Check this out. I worked for Johnson County Road Department for 27 years and heard numerous stories during my time. Most of these stories revolve around UFOs and ghost tales, but there have been a few that genuinely make you scratch your head. Initially, I was skeptical of what I was hearing. However, after experiencing something myself, I began to consider that there might be some truth to those other stories. In February of 2000, around mid-morning, my coworker and I were driving east on Tudor Key Road, working on the roadway as it was snowing heavily. We'd been out since around midnight, and we were managing to keep up with the snowfall, and the road surfaces were looking pretty good. We had just passed Hanner's Branch Road, and were approaching the area where the power line crosses above the road when I noticed something significant jump out of the ditch on our right and run across the road. Now, there was a 10-foot rock wall on the other side of the road. If it cleared the road and climbed over the rocks in just a few seconds. Both of us got a good look at it, but we had no idea what it was. Now, I've never been a believer in Bigfoot, and I still have my doubts, but I can't explain what we saw that morning. The creature crossed the road about 50 feet in front of us and moved like a human. We estimated it that it was about 6.5 foot tall, and it was covered in black hair. When it jumped the rocks, we noticed it had vast shoulders and relatively short but strong-looking legs. Its head appeared smaller than a human's, and we couldn't see its face. It was definitely not a bear. I've seen many bears, and this creature did not resemble one. On the other hand, after looking at various pictures of Bigfoot, I can't say any of them matched what we witnessed either. I've talked to a few people, and I know what I saw that day. Most of them suggested that it was probably a Bigfoot, mentioning that others have been spotted in this part of Kentucky. One individual at County Animal Control told me that his neighbor saw a Bigfoot digging through a trash pile one winter. The next day, he found large footprints in the mud, and his dogs wouldn't go near the area. I decided to write you for your perspective. Even though I've lived on my farm for over 20 years, I've never encountered any evidence of a Bigfoot or anything that large. Thank you for your time, JD. So what did they see? They don't know.
The big feats.
That it came across the road in a rapid amount of time and climbed over that wall like it was no problem.
Parkoured it. Bigfoot parkour.
Parkoured it. Yeah. I don't know what you saw either. Here's my perspective. I don't know what the hell you saw.
Yeah. A very athletic big feats.
Yeah. That'd be my best guess, but I don't know.
Which I guess every big feats is athletic.
Oh, I mean,
you kind of got to be. You can't be slow in a Bigfoot. Those dudes are fast.
Here's a public service announcement. I just want to make everybody listen up. For all you Bigfoot hunters out there, all you ghost hunters out there, it's over. Stop. Quit. It's over. It's over.
Uh-oh. Why is that?
Have you not seen how good AI is getting? Even if you manage to capture an image of something,
no one's going to believe it.
Yeah. So it's over. So stop. Pack up all your stuff. Done. You're done. You don't need to go in the woods no more. There's no reason. You'll never be able to produce any credible proof anymore moving forward. We did it.
For anything.
We ruined the internet, right?
We did.
I was looking at Instagram today, and I'm just like, why am I even looking at this? This could all be completely fake.
It's true.
It's gotten so good.
Well, it's because we're in the Matrix.
Yeah.
So you're slowly waking up. You're going to wake up in a pod connected to some big electronic spider. That's it, folks.
I was just telling you not to waste your time. Stop looking for them.
You might really be onto something. It is going to be extremely difficult from this moment forward.
Yeah.
Ever.
If you saw,
to take any video seriously ever again.
This next week, you saw a credible video of a Bigfoot. Would you not scrutinize it instantly?
100%.
Yes, like 100%. Yeah. You're like, man, this AI is getting good.
I think about it when I see all I get is like these videos of drones or UFOs or any of that stuff that we get sent to us. That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah.
And it used to be you could kind of tell, right? You could dig into a few and be like, it looks like somebody's messed around with it. Or why is it always blurry? Well, now with AI, it's why is it so crystal clear and perfect, right? You're like, why is that video big? I thought he was blurry all along.
Your internet's too good.
My internet's too good, folks. I got a little stories here. Now, there's nothing I like better than a good monster flap, right? You love it when creatures are just hanging out in the same area. So you get multiples on there. This takes place in Zephyr Hills Florida. Now, folks, for those of you that don't know, and I was one of those that didn't really know the exact area, you think of Zephyr Hills is northeast of Tampa. So if you go in between Tampa and Orlando, it's not there. It's actually northeast of Tampa and looks like a great place. Well, it's all pretty down there pretty much, right? I mean, the whole thing looks awesome. So, again, imagine, if you will, just living your best in Zephyr Hills. Everything's going smooth as glass. You're just trying to get by so you can go do some fishing. I mean, that's what I would want to do down there, right? Is do a little fishing. So, much like the Mothman, which my daughter was up there in Virginia just the other day, and she brought home some stickers. I got some Mothman stickers and all that. She wasn't too far from Point Pleasant at this point. So I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to get something cool. So let's wind it back to 2017. That's when there was a group of reports coming out of Zephyr Hills, Brandon, and other parts of Pasco County, Florida. And I just want to share these with you because I want you to see if you can find any similarities. This one was reported September of 2017 on Route 98, US 301. A Clearwater delivery driver covering a late night route near Zephyr Hills encountered something impossible. While approaching a tree-lined stretch of Route 98 and US 301 around 3:30 a.m., he spotted a dark humanoid cannonball shape hovering 15 foot above the ground as he drew closer. Says that the form unfurled with human-like legs dangling beneath giant bat wings that spanned 12 feet. The creature then launched itself towards his truck like at fighter jet speed, nearly causing him to wreck in fear. Earlier, he had passed two separate piles of deer carcasses, and his colleague, AP, later described the witness as pale, shaken, and convinced he encountered a skinny gargoyle. Okay?
Yeah.
So again, weeks later, AP reports a second driver on the same route had also witnessed the entity. This time, the being was described as tall, 6 foot or so, dark gray, and insect-like, with a segmented body resembling a thorax and abdomen. Yeah.
Insectoid.
It flew across US 301 at terrifying speed, again in the same deer-rich corridor. AP began speculating whether the creature hunted deer or whether lunar phases might influence its appearances. This account reinforced the idea of a cluster hotspot in Pasco County, with multiple credible witnesses reporting nearly identical encounters. Jumps forward to February of 2008. The most unnerving case comes from a family in Zephyr Hills. They report an ongoing disturbance at their house, okay?
Yeah.
So they heard scratching on the walls, heavy footsteps on the roof, fluttering wing noises, all of this stuff, right? Displacement noises, banging around outside, shaking around. One night, the witness's son shouted from the bathroom window looking out that the mother saw a massive black wing thing rising past the glass, accompanied by the back of a dark humanoid head. The being spread two enormous wings out and launched itself off into the sky. The family was left terrified and unsure what they were seeing or if they were in danger. Now, in Brandon, Florida, there was some that took place. A geographic scope of these encounters, a witness named Sirago reported seeing a human-sized gargoyle flying 200 to 300 feet above an intersection in Brandon, about 15 or 20 miles south of Zephyr Hills. The sighting occurred at 6:40 a.m. while the witness was sitting at a red light. He said he watched the entity glide across the sky before disappearing behind trees and a building. Although brief, the account adds weight to the idea that Florida's winged humanoid phenomenon is not only confined to the Zephyr Hills area.
No, but a lot of sightings happen in and around that area.
They do.
So it makes you wonder, is it all the same thing, or is there multiple gargoyles?
What's
a group of them called? Like a murder of crows?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, what would you call that? Called? We need to figure that out. Well, and I like the fact that the one was like, it looked more insectoid.
Yeah.
But what if they all are? What if what we're seeing, what we think are gargoyles, is some form of insectoid?
Yeah.
I don't like that at all, because like we always joke about, if a praying mantis was 10 foot tall, you could never leave your house.
No kidding.
You would have to fight daily to stop them.
Even if they were the size of like a German shepherd, imagine how terrible they'd be.
Oh. Yeah, we'd be dropping raid bombs. It would be just like Klondathu. Right? That's what we'd have to fight them off with. So yeah, there's some creepy gargoyles. If you've got any other crazy gargoyle sightings, and you're from down there in Zephyr Hills, first of all, let us know how the fishing is. We'd like to come down and fish. Second of all, tell me if you've seen a gargoyle.
How close does Andrew and the guys live next to Zephyr Hills?
I need to ask Andrew what he knows about it. Maybe he knows. Heck, he might know somebody. Surely between him, Andy, and Hooper, they know somebody in that area that's probably seen something.
Yep. New t-shirt idea.
Heck yeah, new t-shirt idea. Hey, look, let's take a quick break. When we get back from this break, let's go ahead and discuss some creepy dogman stories.
Yeah, let's folks. Do it.
We want to go ahead and put your nerves on end. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
This special Halloween episode of Expanded Perspectives is brought to you by IQ Bar.
Yeah.
Our exclusive snack pack and hydration sponsor.
Heck yeah.
IQ Bar is a totally free from gluten, dairy, soy, GMOs, and artificial sweeteners for a natural anytime snack. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are starting their days off on the right foot with IQ Bar's brain and body-boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. My wife, she loves these bars. We've tried them all. Salted caramel chip, chocolate sea salt, banana nut, wild blueberry. What else do they got over there? They got some almond. chocolate sea salt. I said I already say that one. Peanut butter chip.
The lemon blueberry is one of my faves too.
Banana nut, almond butter chip. I mean, I
have you had a bad one?
I haven't had a bad one.
Exactly.
You know, most of the ones that are really good for you, other brands I'm talking about, are really hard and chewy.
Yeah.
These aren't like that.
Oh, man.
Now, my favorite is the hydration mixes because
I'm
constantly drinking the fizzy water. I love them.
I keep the bars in my pack. Anytime we go hiking, hunting, wherever, if I'm hunting, they're in my pack.
Yeah, they got lots of stuff over there. And their mushroom coffees. Your wife said she loves the mushroom coffee.
She's addicted to mushroom coffee. Yeah, my wife loves it. She's always had coffee, but this made a difference. This, where she was like, I need it every day now.
Yeah, I love it. I love their hydration mixes. I like all the flavors. I like how they taste. A lot of the other brands I've tried taste very salty.
She told me just the other day she could tell it when she legitimately notices a difference in what she feels is clarity. She's like, I feel like I can focus and everything's a lot more clear when I get on it.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Like, look, anything helps her. She don't listen to this. I can say whatever I want.
Yeah, IQ bars. I love them. You got to check it out. You can go over there and you can shop on their website, which is like eatiqbar.com. They have custom cases. They have variety packs. They even have gift cards, folks. You can give somebody the gift of IQ bar.
Look,
check it out.
For right now, they're offering y'all, our special podcast listeners, 20% off. You get 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack Kyle's talking about. And guess what else they're going to give you? Free shipping. So to get your 20% off, it's super easy. Text the word EXPANDED to 64,000. Yeah, EXPANDED to the number 64,000. You text EXPANDED to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. You can see the terms for details. Let's get into the creepiness.
Yeah, like the Dogman phenomenon is just, it's bizarre, right? Because it's not...
That's putting it lightly.
Yeah, right. No, I remember when we first started doing this stuff, there wasn't very many sightings of the thing, like maybe 5 or 6. And then it seemed like over time, either the numbers increased, like we talk about all the time, or the people kind of come forward because they feel more comfortable because other people have witnessed the same things. But I'll tell you, in the beginning, the stories were kind of like a gray area between, I don't know if I saw Sasquatch... or if it was a dog man.
You're right. It started out as more Sasquatch defined with a weird dog
like. Like the snout and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
and the ears,
a Bigfoot, like, but it had a snout like it shouldn't have. Like people have in their mind what Bigfoot should look like when it's ridiculous because none of us know what it actually looks like. You know what I'm saying? But then it's kind of bled over and now people are straight up saying, like, nah, man, I saw a werewolf.
Yeah. Because then they started pointing at the dog legs, right?
The backwards looking legs.
Yeah, well. And which is funny because dogs don't have backwards legs, right? They don't have them.
No, but I know what they're talking about. It doesn't bend like our knee. It bends the opposite way.
No, it doesn't. A dog's knee doesn't bend the opposite direction. A horse's knee bends the opposite direction.
Oh, maybe that's,
A dog's knee bends just like we do so it can sit down with its legs underneath it to run, to move, all of that. That's what I'm saying is when they talk about the dogs, they never talk about the way it stands. As it stands up with those crazy dog legs, look at your German Shepherd trying to walk on its back legs, right? They're not made for it. It's the way the ankle is elevated.
Right.
Because in reality, I guess a dog, the way its foot and all of that, the way it works, looks that way for its ankle.
Yeah, their heel is like this long.
Yeah, super long foot. Yeah. I don't understand how it went from Bigfoot to morphing into a werewolf to where now we get stories of both, where we get stories where people report it looking like the black shuck, a giant black dog standing on its back legs, and that's what it looks like. Wisps of hair off the tips of its ears, glowing eyes, Hound of the Baskervilles. And then we get reports where they sound just like a Bigfoot with a werewolf face. It's got hands and claws and looks nothing like a dog except for its face.
Yeah, and there's
almost
and
like
there's,
skinwalker.
This isn't a new phenomenon like with the invention of the internet. I mean, there's areas. Like, look at the Rougarou in Louisiana and Cajun culture. Look at Linda Godfrey uncovered. There's sightings going back to the last century.
Yeah.
Of what looks like a werewolf in those fields out there in Wisconsin.
What is it?
And then you can go over to Europe. There's places around Paris and there's places in Germany that all have this folklore of these upright walking wolves. So it's if it's so a troll, crazy. It's a troll that's been going on for hundreds of years, right?
That's true. If somebody's doing it, They've done a good job of doing it.
Or is it something that's evil and it manifests, and that's what shape or form it takes?
That's another good one. I don't know.
I mean, we have these archetypes for what we think a devil or demon should look like, but it comes from iconography. It comes from images that we've seen. It comes from, heck, we know what a gargoyle looks like because of the carvings and the sculptures.
Well, just like with the old werewolf stories, where did they originate?
I don't know.
Yeah, where did it all start from? It's so crazy. Well, I've got one that we're going to dial it back to. Got a little anonymous poster here. It says that I wanted to share a story of an encounter that I and a bunch of my friends had back in 1968. To this day, I still think about it. It's hard to forget. No matter how hard I've tried, anything I say today must be understood as the words of someone only 11 years old. But I'll make myself as clear as I can. On the summer evening in 1968, an older cousin, a group of friends, and I decided to play baseball at a nearby baseball field. Baby, that sounds like the Sandlot to me. Here we go.
It's the summer of 68.
Yeah, right?
Right?
So this is the
every field. Time somebody starts a story and it's 1968, I think of Creedence Clearwater Revival in the background, right?
good times. Says the field was about 4 to 5 blocks away from where I lived at 3621 Richmond Avenue. And the field was southeast of my house. So anyway, we all got together and were playing. There weren't enough of us to play a team-to-team matchup, so we were rotating one pitcher, one fielder, and the catcher while the rest batted. Some train tracks also ran parallel to the baseball field. I bet they had Ghost Runner. Ghost Runner on second!
That's right.
You know, you got to play all that out. So, I mention this because of what happened next. My time came up to pitch. My older cousin was fielding. Our buddy hit a foul ball and it went over the fence towards the railroad tracks. Now by then it was getting a little past dusk, though the field lights weren't too bad. So a man was standing close to where the ball rolled to a stop. My cousin ran towards the fence and yelled at the man to throw the ball back, and he ignored my cousin. So I ran over and yelled as well. The rest of the guys came over and we started to cuss the guy out for ignoring us. None of us wanted to get near the guy though. Something about him didn't feel right. One of the guys picked up a rock and threw it at him as we thought he was a bum. The rock came close but didn't even hit the guy. Then a group of guys started to throw rocks. That's when the crap hit the fan. This guy turns towards us slowly, drops on all fours. What we saw next by the dim field lights was not a man, but a snarling wolf-like creature.
Ugh, and you've been throwing rocks at it.
Right, you've been throwing rocks at it. My cousin was the first to react by yelling, "Werewolf." He then turned and ran, followed by the rest of us. Now, we ran as a group. Some were lucky and made it home first, peeling off from the rest of us one by one. My cousin and a friend ran to my house and just stayed the night. We told my parents that we had seen, and of course, they just laughed and blew us off. My mom told us that what you probably saw was the devil himself out there for staying out past dusk. That's typical old school mom, right? Being Hispanic, we always had holy water around the house. We blessed the house and especially my bedroom. None of us slept that night, and any noise would make us jump. The next morning, we got our courage up enough to go back out to investigate. We found our ball, exactly where it had landed, but no visible tracks of anything else. Everyone but me agreed that we had seen a werewolf. I kept asking how it could have been a werewolf if there was no full moon last night.
Solid point.
Have any dogmen sightings been reported near El Paso? Yeah, so it says, very few people I've ever told about this. Most have laughed. The rest thought I was crazy. I'm an old man now, but this is my story.
See, I love it.
Yeah, from 1968.
So what did they see?
Well, and just like, look, part of me feels is if you were, let's say, advanced in your trolling, like it takes place now, and you went back to 1968, they're not ready for the level of trolling that people do now, right? Like, they wouldn't be. So if you were one of those dudes that like playing tricks on kids or just messing around with folks, back then, you think about how easy it would have been. A dude could have easily been watching them, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to mess with these kids a little bit. And it could have been, I always go back to the Bigfoot story. of, you know, that we talked about when it up in North Dakota where they scared the heck out of the kids. It was a guy in a suit.
Right.
This could have easily just been some dude out there messing with them, right?
It could have been.
It could have been. But if it's not, what was it?
I don't know. But and you're right, though. The time frame, like 1968 when there was time, people weren't trolling like they are now. Now you see these idiots online trying to, they're messing with people in public and filming it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You'd get your butt whipped quick back then because now they do it because they know nothing's going to happen to them, right?
Yeah, you get beat down.
Yeah. So, like, if you're going to pull a prank like that, boy, you're taking your chances.
Yeah. But that's why you messed around. They were scaring kids, right? That's what they're But then the other part of you is like, yeah, but what if? I always think of, what is it? When all that stuff, you think about all the old school stuff in Derry.
Oh, yeah. Right? There's that show's kicking off soon.
Yeah.
The new series.
I've been talking about an It series for the last, like, 7 years, wishing it would take place.
Well, I'll ask Luke. He'll know all about it.
I need
it.
To get Lil Fizzy to give me the rundown.
He's already pumped. November 7th, today, is the new Predator movie coming.
That's what I'm talking about.
Check this out. It says, my encounter happened in February of 2009. In November of 2008, I broke my arm and was basically stranded at home. I was unable to drive or work and was going stark raving mad with boredom. My best friend would drive the 35 miles north from Muskegon to pick me up in Shelby to take me back to Muskegon for a visit to her home. She'd take me to dinner or out to see a movie, only to deliver me home to Shelby after whichever activity. It was truly a selfless act of love. One night, she was driving me home. It was very late, well after 11 p.m. We were on U.S. 31 northbound near Rothbury in Oceana County. On the expressway. In Michigan, in February, the roads were naturally snowy, with scattered patches of ice and bare pavement. There was a small pickup truck in front of us, about 5 car lengths ahead of her, when all of a sudden we saw something on 2 legs dart out from the left just in front of an overpass. Whatever it was, it ran across the 2-lane highway and hit the back of the small pickup in the rear quarter panel, causing the pickup to fishtail a little bit. Luckily, the driver of the small pickup regained control. But they didn't seem to stop to see what collided with their truck. They just kept going. If anything, it picked up speed and got the heck out of there. My friend and I watched in utter astonishment as the creature finished running to the right and disappeared into the weeds and trees that ran along the highway. It didn't even break stride after it hit the small pickup truck. We looked at one another, sat in silence for a moment, and then I said, "Did you see?" And she cut me off and she said, "Yeah, I saw it." We finished the ride to my house in silence, both lost in our thoughts. It looked like a giant dog or wolf, but it was on its hind legs, not on all fours, and it was at least 7 foot tall. It had pointed ears, a kind of mane around its neck, much like a lion's mane, and it was darker in color, and its hind legs looked like a dog's legs, which was even more pronounced as it ran only on its hind legs. Its front legs were freely swinging as it ran, and it seemed to have its mouth slightly open. It had an elongated face, much like a collie's face, and a long nose protruding from the face. Its face was covered by longish hair. The entire creature seemed to be covered in long hair, but I can't recall if it had a tail or not. Something tells me that it did, but I can't remember for sure. So I don't want to say it did when I'm not sure. We thought it might have been one of the Michigan Dogman stories we have heard about that are said to be in our area. Now, being a former Native American area, we have heard the stories but never met anyone who had a firsthand encounter with one. It was always someone who knew someone who knew someone who saw something kind of thing. But now, my best friend and I definitely saw it. We had firsthand experience. Our encounter was brief and over in just a matter of a few moments. But it was front and center for us, and we saw it clear as a bell. Laura.
Yikes.
The Michigan Dogman. It is a thing. Like, there's an incredible amount of stories that come out of Michigan for some reason, especially in the Upper Peninsula area.
In the
area.
UP. Yeah.
So what is it? Is it something that's Native American? Like, is it a skinwalker? And why only that shape? Like, what is it that people can shapeshift into that form, but they can't turn into a giraffe, or they can't make themselves look like a zebra? You can't, you know
if
what I mean?
If you could turn into a giraffe, you know how awesome that would be?
Well, not in the winter, though. Imagine having a sore throat.
God. Oh, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That crazy story. That would be, dude, that's insane. Why are they? It has to. I don't know. They're just so unsettling. You're going to dig this one. Get a load of this. It says, usually I'm carrying a 10 millimeter handgun on my belt wherever I go.
Heck yeah.
Now, America. On this day, is it a 10 mil or a 40 cal? Which one you got? On this day, I was heading to my doctor's office for lab work. He was going to pay. No, I'm sorry. It just says, I may have added that.
Okay.
It says that I was headed to my doctor's office for lab work, so I did not put my firearm and holster on my belt. But I did bring it and just leave it in the truck. So due to road construction, I was taking a back road to town. As I turned down that road, I noticed something about a half mile up in the road, in a field, actually, on the other side. It looked canine. And as I approached the area, I slowed down to have a better look. And standing off in this field was the most enormous wolf I'd ever seen. And two different packs of wolves run the areas between where I live and the town where my doctor's office is. So I'm very familiar with wolves, so much so that my being curious about them is kind of an anomaly about itself. I really enjoy researching them. But I was so curious about this giant wolf that I just had to stop and get my phone out to get a picture. So please understand that for some reason, I'm not in my right mind at this point. I've never been so curious about wolves or even such giant wolves, and I would not leave my truck to get a picture. Yet, here I am finding myself grabbing for my phone, shutting off my vehicle, stepping out, hopping the fence, and walking out into this field to get a photo. I cannot describe what's going on in my head at this moment. All I knew was that I needed to get a picture, and in order to do so, I needed to be up close. The wolf moved behind these massive pile of bushes. I couldn't see through them at all, so I veered to my right a little to circle the bushes to get a better picture. As I came around this bush, I come face to face with this wolf. It's about 5 or 6 feet away from me. I stop moving, and somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm hearing the words, "Get the picture." So as I raise my phone, the wolf growls. And somehow I felt like I understood the growl. This was a warning growl telling me I need to back off. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and it was at that moment I snapped out of whatever was going on. I shoved my phone into my pocket. I said very loudly, "If you want to get hostile with me, buddy, then I have a little something for you." And I reached for my pistol, which is always on my side. Except this time,
I
grab air. I run my hand along my belt looking for it. My eyes aren't leaving the wolf. It's not there. Then it occurs to me, I didn't put it on my belt because I'm driving to a gun-free zone to have lab work done. It's in my truck. Purposefully, I turn and walk to my truck. My adrenaline is racing. My instincts are screaming at me to run as fast as I can. But my brain is telling me that this wolf is bigger than I am. Now, I'm just over 300 pounds and 6'4". Not the most fit, but definitely strong enough to wrestle around with a normal wolf in a pinch. And this thing made me feel tiny. And that running will trigger that predatory instinct. So if I run, I'm not going to make it to the truck. So I reach my truck, grab the handle, casting a glance over my shoulder, and I see the wolf. Except this time it's standing with its front legs up on the gravel on the road across from me. You know, I guess it's kind of like down in the bar ditch, leaned up. It says, and I know that it hasn't let me get further away than that particular distance that it could close in one movement. So I hopped in my truck, slammed the door, reached under the center console for my pistol, drew it from the holster. I can see a giant nose in the corner of my eye about the center of my driver's side window. I also realized that I had never chambered around into it that morning. The full weight of my stupidity hit me in that very moment as I racked around into the chamber. I glanced out the window and got a sense that the wolf was amused. The look on its face, its posture, and its eyes. The damned eyes were so human-like that I could read the creature's emotions. It was fully amused while equally curious as to why a thin-skinned and squishy creature, such as a human, would actually walk right up to it on purpose. I started my truck.
And threatened it. Don't forget, he threatened it.
And then reached to slap leather. Didn't have any leather to slap. Says I started my truck, slammed it down in drive, and gently pushed the gas pedal. I knew it wasn't going to hurt me. Mock me, yes. Hurt me, no. As I started driving away, in a moment, in my rearview mirror, it caught my eye. The wolf had turned and started walking back into the field on its two hind legs.
What?
Wild.
First of all, what overcame you enough to go, I think I'll just walk out there and pet that doe. Can I pet that doe?
Because he had that gun on him. He thought he was invincible.
Right. He had that thang on him. Turns out you didn't. You didn't stay strapped, and you almost got clapped.
Right. Man, I don't know.
So, again, like I had pointed out on the Elite Show with the pigs, and now we have pointed out on this, stay strapped.
Yeah, I agree, especially in wolf country.
In wolf country, if there's cryptids out, stay strapped. I'm not going to shoot Bigfoot, but I might shoot around him. Right? I don't want to shoot at him, but I might shoot around him just to let him know, hey, look, stay away. This is, I'm like a skunk. I'm going to put the urine all down the front of me, and then I'm just going to shoot my gun and run off.
Yeah, right. Check this out. It says, my encounter took place many years ago. I never had the faintest explanation for it until a couple of months ago when I randomly stumbled across Dogman on the internet.
Uh-oh.
So again, this is what we're talking about. These people didn't know it was a phenomenon, right? They thought they had a one-off experience. Turns out, no.
You ain't the only one.
I was in my early 20s, working swing shifts at the time and commuting about 100 miles each way. So it was usually around 2 in the morning by the time I got home. I saw the monster, as I called it, on the northernmost section of Trunk Road in Matanuska Valley in Alaska.
Say that fast 3 times.
Matanuska?
No, the whole sentence you just said.
Yeah. This area is almost smack in the between the towns of Palmer and Wasilla. I was only about 10 miles from home at that point, so it must have been around 2 a.m. Trunk Road is a narrow, 2-lane road consisting of nothing but twists and turns. The surrounding terrain is somewhat swampy and thick with black spruce. It was late October, only days before Halloween. There was no snow on the ground, but it was cold enough to be wary of ice. I was driving a 1982 Subaru SW.
Yeah!
Going about 20 miles an hour around a curve, when my headlights caught a prominent dark figure up ahead. Now, I'm bad at judging distance. I'd say maybe 6 car lengths away. I instinctively let off the gas, coasting closer. At first, I assumed it was a moose, as the area is infested with them. But no, it was standing upright. Bear then, I thought. No, not a bear. It looked so strange. Tall enough to be an uncommonly large bear, but far too slender. It looked like it had spikes running down its neck and back. I thought, a Halloween prop? It was an odd but compelling place to put one. All those thoughts ran through my head in a fraction of a second. The car was still coasting closer, and I could see more details the closer I got. It was standing in profile, gazing across the road. I could clearly see its wolfish muzzle, large upright ears. The spikes on its back were in fact clumps of fur. Its spine curved in a smooth, very natural-looking way. It was standing in the ditch, inches from the pavement. Because I was focused on its upper body, I do not recall anything about its back legs or if it had a tail. I did see its front legs, though, very doggy-looking, hanging awkwardly down and slightly toward its front, exactly as you would expect if a dog stood upright. While it clearly had a canine look to it, there was something still off about it that I cannot articulate. It was perfectly still, and at this point, given the proximity to Halloween, I was pretty sure it was some sort of Halloween prop, because if not, it didn't resemble any existing animal that I knew of. I was so profoundly impressed and gently stepped on the brakes, intending to stop and examine it closer. Then it turned its head toward me. In a tiny fraction of a second that it took to swivel its head, I knew that I had made a terrible mistake. The fluidness of its movement removed any doubt that this was some sort of prop. It was horribly, terrifyingly alive. The pale off-white glow of its eye shine in the headlights destroyed any possibility of a human in a costume. I think I sat there gaping at it in shock for a few seconds, the car barely moving by now, but still inching closer. As I was almost upon it, I think it could have leaned forward and touched the vehicle if it wanted to. I had to look up to see its face again. I'm a bad judge of such things, but I'm 5'4", and it was a hell of a lot taller than me. It was tall, like a polar bear standing, like maybe 7 or 8 foot. I can't really say. I snapped out of my trance and slammed on the gas. The car fishtailed, and I prepared myself for a death by monster, as I was certain I'd end up in the ditch. But the tires caught the pavement and drove like a complete maniac all the way home. I did not look back. I have only been on that section of road a few times since, never alone and never in the dark. For the next several years of driving that commute, I went 20 plus miles out of my way to avoid Trunk Road. The thing never made any aggressive moves, but there was something about it that felt very, I don't know how to say it, predatory. I never saw anything remotely like it again, and I never heard any stories about it in this area, Melissa. Again, just rolling by, and you're like, man, look at that cool prop. And you're like, oh, crap.
Why is it moving?
It's moving.
Oh, could you imagine?
I can't.
Oh, when you were talking, I think about, you know, those giant skeletons that everybody got from like Home Depot. I wished I had one, right?
My wife wants one. Oh. I talk her out of her ear because I'm like, where are we going to store it?
Yeah. You don't ever take it down. You just dress it up every time. But all I can think of is imagine seeing one of those come alive, right? You look at it like, check that out. Wait a minute. And then it starts moving. Instantly, you'd think, what if it's somebody in a suit?
Yeah, that would be your first instinct.
Wait a second. This thing ain't moving like that. I got one here you're going to like. Says, I was 17 years old at the time. My dad and mother had taken my little brother and sister to Tucson to do something for the day. We lived in a trailer in a rural area outside of Sierra Vista. We had 2 horses, 2 dogs, a cow, and chickens on a small amount of land that we owned. Now, as the oldest son, it was my job to feed and take care of the animals. So on the night in question, it was a stormy monsoon rain, with thunder and lightning going on, but like monsoons can be, they rage and then settle into a lull and then rage again. So I was getting ready to settle down and watch a good movie when all of a sudden my 2 dogs started barking and they wouldn't shut up, so I tried to calm them down. In the previous week or so before that, my dogs had been acting up and barking a lot at night. I had just attributed this to coyotes that I'd heard howling in the night. So, I went and got my dad's 30-30, just one bullet, in case I had to shoot to scare off a coyote or maybe even kill it if it were rabid. I rested the loaded rifle near the wall by the back door, turned on the floodlights outside the trailer. The rain had just stopped, so I looked out by the window near the front door and saw our 2 horses and cows staring, as if through the front door to the back door of the trailer, where the dogs were barking. So I thought, maybe they're scared of the coyotes. So I grabbed the rifle, opened up the back door. As I was getting near the back door, I heard my dogs whimpering and crying. Now I'm thinking, is it a pack of coyotes? So I put a few more bullets in my pocket. I'm going to stop right there. You know that 30-30, more than likely, lever action, holds more than one.
Yeah. It's got a tubular magazine underneath the barrel.
Stack them till it doesn't hold any more. You're still carrying the same amount. They're just not loose in your pocket. Now they're effective.
They're in the rifle.
They're in said weapon. I carry a nail gun, but no nails. So, since I figured I could load them if I didn't like what I saw. Again, we've already covered empty chambers is empty promises, man.
Yeah.
Stop. So I opened the door, and the darndest thing happened. My 2 dogs make a beeline, rush right past me to the center of the trailer, slide up and hunker down in the kitchen. There's mud everywhere on the floor from their feet. I'm mad because now I know I got to clean that up. So I close the doors, trying to get the dogs together, get them out. They're not budging. They're fighting and squirming out of my arms. Every time I go to grab them, they're terrified. So now I'm mad at the coyotes. So I grab the rifle to run them off, or I'm going to kill them. That's how this is going down.
I'm mad at coyotes, too.
I'm mad at them, too, for you, bro. I'm mad all the time at coyotes. I hate them. I like pigs better, and that's saying something. So the trailer sits on a foundation of blocks. The front and back door are accessible by a small set of stairs. Now, I'm 5'6", by the way. So I open the back door, looking out in the darkness at this point. I was about to step out when I caught a set of eyes looking back at me out of the darkness. Now, from the top of my head in the trailer to the ground is about 7 foot or so. And here is a set of eyes looking at me. No big deal, right? except they're level and square on looking at me. This I'm like, that darn coyote must be on the small gravel hill that we use to pave for the road. Or it's a bird in a mesquite bush, but either way, I'm thinking that monsoon was awful bad and rained awful hard. What kind of bird would hunker down if it is a bird in a mesquite bush? And why would a coyote be even out in the downpour? So I raised my rifle and I drew a bead on the eyes where the lightning was lighting it up in the night. All of a sudden, the lightning illuminated the small gravel hill, which is like 6 foot high, and the surrounding mesquite bushes. The light winks out as fast as it appeared from the lightning, though. There was nothing on the gravel hill, no birds of any mesquite bushes, nothing. Then it dawned on me, whatever it was very tall and staring directly at me. As a sense of dread crept over me, all of a sudden, as I realized that the 30-30 only had one measly bullet, and if I missed, there was no way I'd be able to reload it before it was upon me. I kept the gun pointed as if I was directly at it, as I quickly closed the door and locked it, realizing the trailer would never withstand whatever this thing was out there if it decided to attack. I locked the front door, turned on all the lights in the house, grabbed all the bullets for the .30-06 and the .22, and then went into the kitchen with the dogs. I then loaded each rifle full on, hugged my dogs, and prayed that whatever it was would go away and not attack. So I set up. I set up the entire night, dogs around me, waiting until my parents got home. My dad was upset that all the lights were on, and when he checked the outside for coyotes, but whatever it was gone. We never saw it again, and that took place late in the summer of 1987.
Wow. Yeah, so what could that have been?
What could it have been? Like, there's just, like, eyes. And again, it could have been a coyote up on top of that hill, shone the light eyes at right. it, and then when it flat, it was gone. Could have been a lot of things, because they don't talk about the outline. They don't talk about seeing it. Just seeing these eyes and realizing it's up there level with me. And every animal was freaked out.
That's the thing.
Right? That's the thing. So, again, if you're going to carry a gun, you might as well make sure you got it ready to go. Otherwise, you're just carrying a rock.
Right? Man, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
This one took place in October 1972.
Ooh.
Said my husband and our two babies, my brother, and I left Leavenworth, Kansas in our 1968 Volkswagen van on a camping trip to a recreational area in Arkansas called Beaver Lake.
Beaver Lake is awesome, and Kyle did time in Leavenworth.
When we were finally got there, we found a fairly remote campsite at the far end of the park. We wanted to be alone, as the babies woke up often during the night when they needed to be fed. They didn't, and they would cry, and we didn't want to disturb any of the other campers. Shortly after pulling into our campsite, my brother pitched his tent next to the van. The rest of us were going to sleep in the truck. The campsite was in an area with a horseshoe-shaped, rocky, terraced ledge that rose from around 50 feet to around 100 feet as it curved around behind the four campsites. Because of our mature trees and thick brush in the area, daylight had trouble poking into our spot, which is another reason it made it perfect. Fast forward to this night. Sometime around 3:30 a.m., I heard some animal sounds on the ridge that I thought were being made by Cam's favorite coyote.
Tookie, 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 caw, caw, caw.
The babies were asleep and all was quiet otherwise. I peered out the window, but couldn't see what was making the sounds because it was so dark. Still hearing odd yips and howls, I lay back down on the back seat. Moments later, there was a huge crashing bang on the van wall right next to my head. My husband leapt up out of a full sleep. My brother bolted out of his tent and jumped into the van with us. We were all in a panic, looking in every direction, trying to see what had hit the van like that. My brother finally yelled that he saw something moving behind the truck. We all turned just in time to see a large shadow moving about 20 feet behind the van from left to right. After about 20 minutes had passed without any of us seeing any movement out there, my husband and brother went out to inspect the van for damage, but found none. We then started hearing pounding steps coming from the brush about 50 feet behind us. The guys eased back into the front seat of the van. That's when my husband turned on the headlights and stepped on the brake pedal for the rear light. Instantly, there was a huge commotion. He started the engine, and that's when, in the glow from the headlights, we could see a hairy thing 10 feet away and coming towards the van.
Uh-oh.
As it got closer, its silver-tipped hairs glistened in the light. It had a grayish streak from its shoulders down its back to its buttocks. The creature was walking on two legs. It was around 7 or 8 foot tall. It had a barrel chest and skinny legs. It never gave us a good view of its eyes, so I can't tell you what they looked like. I could see that the face was not ape-like. It was dog-like. Its ears had tufts of fur on top of them, and it was very human-like in its movements and general body structure. It moved smoothly and quickly around to the back of the van, where it followed the base of the ridge away from us. That's when it let out a menacing huff and a low rumbled growl like a dog. Insanely, my husband and brother bolted from the van, trying to get a better look. That's when a shower of gravel came at us. My husband and brother tore back into the truck and burned up the road, getting us out of there. I kept looking out the back window, and they looked in the rearview mirrors, but none of us ever saw that creature again. It just didn't seem like a Sasquatch. Not sure what we saw. It seemed too dog-like in its face and its appearance, and its body was very slim, not like a typical Bigfoot sighting. I still have PTSD-like feelings to this day due to that encounter. Pam.
Yeah, I don't blame you. What was it throwing gravel for?
I don't know. Why was it walking around on two legs?
Dude, not cool.
Man, I just don't know what these people are seeing. I mean, it's one of those things, right?
Yeah.
The dog man. I don't know. I think it's a perfect time of year for the stories, though.
Yeah, I do, too. I agree. It's one. The problem is it shouldn't exist, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is it that you can... Why does we always say this? Why does it feel like Bigfoot is cool? Gnomes, right? I get it. Certain creatures in the water. I get it. But every time you start coming at me with dogmen, I'm like, it shouldn't exist. It's got to be pure evil.
Well, and I think the people that have the encounters even know how insane it sounds, right? They're like, listen, I know you're going to think this is crazy.
Like, you're not... Yeah.
Because they know it's crazy.
Well, like we've talked about when you start saying, well, what if you saw a Bigfoot? I think if I saw a Bigfoot, I would be less surprised. It would be, honest to goodness, not shocking to me at all, right? I wouldn't be like, well, you'd be like, yeah, there it is. Awesome. But a dog man, I don't think that I would ever be okay with seeing it. Because to be honest, my first instinct is to shoot it.
Yeah, right.
Because it feels evil. It feels wrong. And my first instinct is to just be like, all right, let's put it on it.
I agree with you.
And yeah, I don't like that stuff at all. Hey, look, let's take a quick break. Let's pay some bills around here. When we get back, we'll wrap this baby up. We got a couple more little shorts maybe we might holler at you with. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Silly, I got a question.
Yeah.
Could it be skinwalkers?
It could. And that's what I was saying is... It seems like for whatever reason, there's a lot of these sightings in and around where reservations.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. And it's kind of accepted in Native American folklore. Of course, not all of them, but in some of the certain tribes that, yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah.
That there's a shaman in every group and that or witch or whatever you want to call it. And
Bruja.
They can shapeshift.
Yeah.
But they always seem to shapeshift into one thing more than another.
Well, because it's the most terrifying thing.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
And I think that's where like Little Red Riding Hood and all those stories come from is because, you know, they're trying to reintroduce wolves now. But for most of America, most people never have any run-ins with wolves. Yeah,
you don't want
No. That's what I'm saying. We've kind of forgotten how dangerous and terrible wolves were, especially when you lived in a teepee.
Well, and what they do to livestock, what they do to native animals.
What they're doing right now. Have you seen the devastation they've been doing in Colorado?
Yeah. Or what they're afraid they're going to do when they start rolling through Yellowstone and all this stuff. Like dude, it's bad.
Because some people think they can be friends with them, just like that dude that got killed by the grizzly bear. Remember the grizzly man? Yeah.
Just so y'all know, people that are having any questions, you're made out of what they like to eat.
Yeah, and they don't care about you.
They don't have feelings like we do. It's not Disney.
A wolf is not like your pet dog.
No.
Who does care for you.
It does seem, though, that a wolf might kill you before it eats you. So at least you got that going for you, where a bear is just going to eat you. Yeah. It's just going to hold you down and pull stuff off of you and chew till you quit making noise.
Ugh.
That's about how that goes down. But speaking of skinwalkers, I got something here I want to share, and this is what made me think of it. I live in the northwest part of New Mexico, and during the summer of 1992, hey, that was a great summer.
Yeah.
I heard the strangest story ever. My grandmother, who's Navajo, lives about an hour south of where I am. It's a quiet and isolated area of the Navajo Reservation. It has no running water, no electricity, no utilities whatsoever. And I used to go out and visit her on the weekends to check in on both my grandmother and my mother. So one summer weekend, we took my grandmother to her older sister's house just to check on her. We haul in water. We bring much-needed supplies. My great aunt is very old-fashioned and lives alone in a two-room house. The entry area serves as both a living room and a kitchen, while the bedroom is separated by a wall adjacent to the kitchen. She doesn't speak English, only Navajo. And her only advanced technology is an old AM radio and a D-cell flashlight. I'm not so sure she's not living the best at that moment. Straight up. Oh, yeah. Is it work to get food? Is it work to get water? Yeah, but guess what? Your life's a lot more wholesome. I like that. So when we arrived, she told us a very bizarre story. She said that one night she woke up and her room was completely lit up as if the sun had come up. This surprised her because she usually wakes up before sunrise to do her morning prayers. So she was distressed, thinking that she had overslept. She sat up in bed and started to walk to the kitchen. But suddenly it went dark. It gets so dark on the reservation that most of the time you can't even see your hand in front of your face. So startled, she went back to bed. And there's nothing better than no light pollution.
Right.
When you're just out in the middle of there. A few nights later, she was awakened by the sound of dishes banging together in her kitchen. Again, her room was lit up like before. Thinking the sun had risen, she got up to investigate the noise. And as she walked toward the doorway, she heard small children running across. Surprised, she rushed to the doorway, but the children had run off and hidden from her. Upset, she grabbed her broom. And as soon as she did, the light disappeared again, leaving everything quiet and dark. And I love that she grabs the broom. So apparently Navajo grandmas, they don't grab their sandals. They grab brooms. You're going to take a whooping is what you're going to get for playing around her house. Said that she was frustrated and wanted to know what was happening in her home. She suspected that skinwalkers were using witchcraft on her, but she couldn't explain what was going on. Now, in the back of my mind, I wondered if she might be experiencing visits from aliens. She had never spoken like this before, and it was remarkable that she could accurately describe an alien gray. Given her isolation, she had no concept of what an alien even was. And a week later, we returned to check on her again. But she said the children had visited her once more, and that this time she covered her head with a blanket and just lay quietly in bed. She told us that while she was under the blanket that they were in her room digging around. And when they were near her bed, she coughed and they left the room, continuing digging around in the kitchen before eventually departing. And I have no idea why these visitors were coming to her or what they were looking for. After sharing these incidents with the rest of the family, we decided it was best to take her to a nursing home. After that, she never mentioned her visitors again. There have been numerous sightings on the reservation, and I too have seen strange lights, but never been visited. Ron. So, thanks, Ron, for sending this.
Yeah.
Could it have been Dwendy? Yeah. Could it, instead of it being aliens, just because it's bright light. Instead of it being a real bright light, it could have easily just been Dwendy in there messing with her, which is what it sounds like.
Yeah, right.
And maybe she was an old shaman or, you know, who knows? She had some sort of tie to it. Maybe someone in her family was, and that's the reason they felt comfortable enough to come hang out with her. But it's weird that it was only that small little window of life that they come and checked out. So that what I'm saying is, did these little, whatever this visitors was, lead her to go to the nursing home? Or did they already know that she was going to go?
Yeah, maybe.
So they went in there to look around, get some, you know what I'm saying, do all that before she left. I have no idea, but it's a crazy story.
Right.
And I enjoy the heck out of it.
That is cool. If you have any cool stories you want to share with Cam and I, and as well as the rest of the listeners, do not hesitate to email us. You don't have to ask if we want to hear your story. We're telling you. We want to hear your story, right?
We love it.
You can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783.
Word.
That's 888-393-BRUD.
BRUD.
Also, if you want more Expanded Perspectives and you want to help us out, don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elite. There's more episodes over there, folks. You can listen yourself or you can give the gift of Expanded Perspectives Elite. Just go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite. If you want to give the gift, you go to patreon.com/expandedperspectivesElite/gift. And you
That's
can do it.
That's a mouthful.
Boy, it is, right? Also, recently, if you follow us on Instagram and socials and stuff, you've seen our collaboration sticker giveaway with Ducks Unlimited. If you want to get your own free sticker, you don't message us. You go on Ducks Unlimited's Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Find the video, the post about the stickers, comment the word Bigfoot in all caps, and you'll get yourself a free sticker.
Word.
I've seen several people send us messages on Patreon and other things wanting the stickers. We don't have the stickers.
Sending us messages.
Ducks like, Unlimited look, has the stickers.
Yeah, it's not us.
It's a collaboration sticker that they have, and they'll give you one if you go over there and follow those rules.
We're not adult enough to be in control of that. It's tough.
Yeah, right? I hope everybody out there has a good week. Till next time, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.